Well, good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be a part of time of worship and opening up the Word. You can take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be in Mark 4, 21 through 25 this morning. We're finishing up a four-week series, a little mini-series within the Gospel of Mark. I have had the time of my life. I have no idea if you guys have learned anything over the last few weeks, but I tell you what, Samuel, what day are you preaching, buddy? I don't know if you guys have learned anything over the past few weeks, but I have learned so much and am so thankful for the opportunity that you have all given to myself and Pastor Derek and the Bible guys to be communicators of this amazing, amazing book. This is the greatest book that was ever written. It has the greatest insight for life and godliness, and there's just so much value to it. What we've learned over the last few weeks is that Jesus is talking to a crowd. We've looked at verses 1 through 20, and we're going to be in 21 through 25 today. But we've learned that he's been talking to a crowd. He taught them in parables. The parables were about the kingdom and imagery of the kingdom. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or a spiritual understanding to it. The kingdom was compared to a sower and some seed and four types of soil. We've learned about the path, which is hard, the rocky soil, which is shallow, thorns that ultimately clutter, and then we learned about the good soil that is productive. And we've seen that throughout. We've also learned that not everyone's going to understand the parables. And there were the followers that were there. We learned about this last week, looked at it in 10 through 12 specifically. But there was also outsiders. And I know that that's caused some tension within some people of our church and even in our Bible guys conversation. It's like, how does that work and what does that look like and how is that possible that some are going to get it and some are not? My answer I always want to go back to is Psalm 115:3. My God is in heaven and He does what He pleases. And it's not my job to figure all of those details out. But what I will share with you are two quick verses here this morning that you can maybe just jot down in your notes. The first is 1 Corinthians 1:18. And again, I'm just going to fly kind of by these to give a little bit of insight, and then we want to get back into the main thrust of the message today. This whole idea of outsiders and then the ones that are truly followers. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right there gives us a clue that some people are going to understand it, some people not so much. We also could see in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Guys, it really boils down to this. This world is very corrupt, wicked, and evil. But Jesus has come into the world to take care of that darkness and that evil. Some people are going to grasp it. Some people are going to understand it. And some aren't. Some are going to get it and some aren't going to get it. But in all of this, and I think the greatest thing that I have taken away from the chunk of this passage in Mark 4, with all of that said, what Jesus is doing is calling people to be sowers of seed. That and Billy next week is going to get into this. And I told him earlier, I said, Billy, I'm not going to give you a nice softball pitch that you can hit out of the park next week. In fact, you are going to have cleanup duty after my message today. Okay? Bring them up, most definitely. But as Billy's even going to talk about, you know, He just wants us to sow seed. How it works and how it happens when that seed is sown is really up to God. We are just to be sowers of seed. Trust Him. He's in control. He's got it taken care of. He's the one with the master plan. Amen? Right? You guys with me on that? So here we are in this passage now, and we're coming to verses 21 through 25. 13 through 20 is the explanation of the parable shared early on of the different soils and the seed and the sower. But here we come to this passage in 21 through 25 where ultimately Jesus is making a connection with His disciples that I want to give you guys a responsibility. I want to give you something to do. And so I want to ask this question to begin with. Have you guys ever been a part of something big or valuable that you were asked to play a major role? And did you ever get to the point where you asked the question like, you want me to do what? You weren't sure on how to do something. So because we're in the parables of the sower and the seed, I'm gonna go back to my childhood and helping my dad as a farmer. Okay? I remember back when I drove a tractor for the very first time, and I think Tyler can relate to me as he was raised in a very similar way. Tyler, remember the first time you were put on a tractor and your dad said or grandpa said, hey, drive this to this point. And when you get to that point, just turn the key off because your feet weren't long enough to touch the pedals. Okay? Now that's ridiculous as I think back on that today. But my dad did that to me. Here you go, son. Boop! When you get to the plow up there in the field, I just want you to turn the key off. Okay, Dad! Woo! You know, and we were having a lot of fun doing that. And then things progressed a little bit, and my dad would hook a disc on the back of the tractor. And we're talking, to me, this was huge. I mean, my dad didn't have a lot of acres, an 80-acre farm, and helped my grandpa with another 40 or 60 acres, whatever it was. So it wasn't huge, but for a kid, man, this was a big deal. I was being asked to be a part of something really special. So he puts me on a tractor with a disc on it. And he puts me in this huge field, right? And he says, stay in between here and here, and just drive, okay? You know, try to drive in a straight line. Not so much. Didn't happen really, okay? But I'm out there disking the field. And then he'd put a digger on the back, and you know, he would just continue to give me more and more responsibilities. And then he put me in a field with a cultivator. Okay, a cultivator, I don't know if you guys know what that does, but that's the thing that kind of digs in between the rows of the crops. And you really gotta stay straight when you use one of these, okay? Because a cultivator turns into a plow, or a digger, if you don't stay. And so, I never did that ever again, after that one time. But that's okay, I didn't feel hurt. Okay, maybe there's a little bit of pain, but let's move on. And so, my dad would always let me do more and more things. You know what he never let me do? Never once. What? Oh no. Combine was easy, and I always broke it. I'd get rocks in it, and one time I took the head of the combine, and I'm not going to tell you that story. But he would never let me plant. My dad would never let me plant. You know, I was really okay with that. Because you know the planting, and I verified this with Jared and Tyler this morning, and Ben, I would have connected with you if I would have saw you. But I asked them, I said, as farmers, I said, guys, what's the most important part of farming? Jake, who used to be the tire guy, fairly true. But the seed, it comes back to the seed. And what Jesus was doing here with his disciples was he was pulling them into this idea that I need you guys to be farmers. And I need you not to be the ones that are cultivating. I don't need you the ones tilling up the ground. I don't need you to be the ones that are necessarily dry. I need you to be the ones that are the sowers of the seed. These guys have been given a great responsibility that we're going to see here in verses 21 through 25. Let's check it out. Let's kind of work through this passage. I want to give some explanations. I don't know exactly if I'm going to handle this. I mean, I know I'm going to handle the text right, but as far as notes and everything, man, I banged my head against the wall all week trying to figure out exactly how to share and break this down for you. And so hopefully by the end, you'll be able to walk away really understanding the significance of the role of the people here that he is called to serve. It says this in 21 through 25. Of Mark 4. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for an amazing opportunity for us to dive into your word this morning. Thanks for gathering us together here. Thanks for the song service that you've provided us. Thank you for the great meal that you've provided for us at the end of the service and our time of our family meeting. God, thank you for including us in this journey of this kingdom calling and being a part of this great kingdom concept. God, we are grateful for what you have taught us over these past few weeks. We're grateful for what we will learn today, and we are grateful for what we will do with all of this information. Our gracious God, we just want to pray that we would be the people that you're calling us to be. That we would really follow in the footsteps of your Son Christ, and that we'd follow in the footsteps of these followers that are learning here on the early on in this ministry. And that we would be sowers. God, help us to be the light of the world. Help us to spread the seed to so many. And God, we want to do it for you and for your glory. Give us wisdom and guidance. Open our minds and our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus asks a question to begin with here in verse 21. And this question that he asks is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? And I think the simple answer as we look at this is no. You know, you wouldn't get a lamp and you wouldn't bring it in and you wouldn't necessarily put it in a certain spot so that it wouldn't be visible. I mean, there would be purpose behind this lamp. And as he goes on, and I'm going to explain a little bit here, but we're going to dig a little deeper here in just a few minutes. And as he goes on, he talks about how in verse 22 that nothing is hidden except that to be made manifest, or nothing's to be kept in secret. And there's an important connection here that I think we need to see about the light and in the context of everything else that we've seen over the last few weeks. And it would be easy for us to take verses 21 through 25 and pop it out and set it over here and do something with it and forget about everything else that was mentioned in this section of Scripture. But what's important is that we see this concept of a light, and that how this light really is not to be hidden, but is to be made manifest or to be shown to the rest of the world. And in fact, when he goes in there to 22 and starts talking about this thing that's supposed to be this thing that was hidden or this thing that was in secret. Well, anything that's in hidden or anything that is secret really ought to be revealed. If you're a Christmas gift buyer, that's one of those things. How many of you buy Christmas gifts and hide them? Right? And then the anticipation of Christmas coming, and in fact, you don't want to wait till Christmas, let's just give it to them now, right? I mean, there's this excitement about it. In the context, and what we're going to look at here today, we really see that. And we have to go back to this idea of the secret of the kingdom found in verse 11. And if you haven't been with us the entire time, go back, listen to our messages on our website. Website should be in the bulletin, but because all of this fits so important together. Because he says in verse 11, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom. And so these guys have been given this information and this secret of this God's reign and rule in all of the earth and in all of the universe. And so now, you guys, I wouldn't give you information just like you wouldn't take a light and go and hide it. I wouldn't give you information just to tuck away and hide. That would be silly and quite ridiculous. And that's what Jesus is starting to get at here when he shares this passage in verses 21 and 22. This light or this information or this knowledge that I'm presenting to you should be something that is really revealed and shown to the rest of the world. It's not meant to be a secret. And then he comes to verse 23 and he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. We've seen that before in verse 9. And in verse 9, as he said this, he's really saying, hey, be a listener. Pay attention. Understand the words that I am speaking to you, because the things that I am speaking to you are valuable and important, not just for your own sake, but for the kingdom of God. This is good stuff, Jesus is saying. So hey, listen up. He emphasizes that even in a greater way in verse 24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. This is that same idea of listen, but it's a listen and look. It would be a scientist who is taking part of an experiment. And they're not just listening, but they're also watching, and they're heavenly involved in the things that are taking place in front of their eyes. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is calling them, and He's been doing this throughout the entire section. This is such a critical part. As we saw the word listen in verse 3, as we saw who has ears, let him hear in verse 9, as we saw every soil that we looked at in the understanding of verses 13 through 20, every soil could hear. But what Jesus was proclaiming and asking these men to do, and as we'll break it down as we continue on here, what He is asking them to do was not just merely to hear what He was asking. But He's saying, I need you guys to hear, listen, understand, and look at this. Look at what I have to offer and what I want you to do. And then for me, He comes into the latter part of 24 and into 25. And to me, it gets a little bit muddy. It can get a little bit confusing. Because now He starts talking about things that I don't really know what He's referring back to. He talks about a measure. And in verse 25, He talks about for to the one who has. What in the world are you talking about here, Lord? But what we have to continue to come back to is the context, and to see here that He is referring to, again, this kingdom idea and this kingdom secret that's been presented. And so this understanding of the kingdom potentially maybe is the measure that you will use, or the measure that you will have. This understanding. Because that's what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted, when He spoke in these parables, He wanted a group of people to understand and comprehend the things that He was teaching, so then they would be motivated and moved to go and to do and to take action. And in fact, if you go and do and take action, more will be given, it says in verse 25. And from the one who doesn't have anything, even what he has will be taken away. Again, there's a distinction. People are going to get it and some people aren't. And the people that aren't, in fact, their stuff's going to be taken from them. Now, in this passage, I think we can look at it from a wealth and a health and a prosperity concept. And I think some people could define this or work through this as being a financial type of passage of Scripture, which it's not. It's so far from it. What would be taken from these people would not be any monetary or any health or anything like that. What would be taken from them is their any connection that they have as being a follower of Jesus. Like, you've never been a part of a follower of Jesus, and so what you're trying to proclaim and do, you're worthless in doing it because you don't get it, and so why even have it, and it would be taken. Maybe a better way of explaining this would be just to observe the text. And this is exactly what I did this week. I went through and I found four words that I felt like were important for us to unfold, that were very critical. And so the first word is the lamp that is found there in our passage. This picture that you see on the screen potentially is one of those lamps that Jesus could have been referring to. He's in the middle of the water in a boat. I don't know that He had one of those lamps and said, hey, it's like a lamp. But they would all have this connection and understanding. They would all understand what the lamp was. They would understand what the basket was. And they'd understand what a bed looked like and how it functioned. And it wouldn't make any sense to use a lamp in such a way to, again, hide it. Now, I'm going to share observation with you, but then the next line that's going to come in each of these four words is really the interpretation. And it's an interpretation that I have come up with, not necessarily from this large group of commentators that have shared, but really in the context of what we've seen here in this passage. And when we think of this lamp, we've got to understand what this lamp potentially was referring to. We could talk about a lamp that is seen in Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you ever heard that verse before? Raise your hand. Okay, so automatically when we see this word lamp, I wonder, the word? Or how about John 1, 1 through 5 and 9 through 14? where in that passage John reveals that Jesus is the Word and that Jesus has come, and He is also referred to as the light of the world. Jesus is the Word, but Jesus is the light. And then we see in Matthew 5, 14 through 16 that we are to be ones that show this light off, very similar to our section of Scripture here, where all of this information that has been revealed about the secret of the kingdom is to be made known to the world. And so based on all of that, for me, in this understanding of this context, and there's some danger for me to pull this out and to say, this is what the lamp is referring to. But as I have dug through this section, as I have looked at this as its whole, it is obvious that Jesus, and I said it earlier, that Jesus is calling out His disciples to make evident what He has revealed to them, and what has been evident is the secret of the kingdom. And we could even break this down a little further with this idea that the lamp is the Word of God. It is the truth of Christ. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I want you guys to make this known. I want you to show the world this idea of the truth of Christ. I want you to reveal the truth of the gospel. It's another idea or thought of this lamp and this light concept, referring to the truth of the kingdom. And so I'm encompassing all of this information, because what we have seen in this passage is that we've learned in verse 14 that the thing that is being sowed, the seed that is being sowed, is the Word. And there's a responsibility for the disciples specifically here, the followers of Christ, to be those people that are spreading that or making that known to them. I want to just highlight something for you here. Do you remember in verse 10, and if you take your eyes to verse 10, and when He was alone, and we talked about that last week, and I thought that was significant that there was a distinction between the two groups. There were the people that weren't going to get it and the people that were getting it, the followers of Christ, and He was explaining this stuff to them. In the ESV that I'm preaching from today, there are some key phrases that are made. In verse 11, it says, "And He said to them." And so I want you to see this, that He's having a very intimate conversation with the followers of Christ, that I'm giving you a responsibility. If you drop your eyes down to verse 13, He says it again, "And He said to them." And He explains this parable. And He comes again to verse 21, "And He said to them." And He gives the specific details about this lamp. This is all in the same context. This is all together. This is all meant to be taught to these groups, this group of followers of Christ. And He says it again in verse 24, "And He said to them." So everything that we're talking about here today, now Billy, next week, your passage, and he said, and we talked about this in my office this past week, Billy's going to have to deal with that. Is this talking to the whole, or is this talking to the smaller group of followers? And we've come to the conclusion, I don't think it really matters based on what He's trying to proclaim here. But for this section of Scripture, He's being very specific to call out His followers to do something spectacular, to do something different. Claimers and showers of the lamp, the light, the Word of God, the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the kingdom. You want me to do what? You know, again, I'm sitting there listening and thinking about the disciples. You want me to do what? I remember feeling the call to be a minister. You want me to do what? Are you kidding me? When I felt led to do death notifications. You want me to do what? You know, it's like this mind-blowing responsibility that I can't even fathom or understand. But He is very specific in the responsibility that He's given. See, the lamp is the secret of the kingdom, and it is to be shared with others. It is not to be hidden. It's not to be covered by a bed or a basket. But instead, it's to be put on a stand, right? I mean, and I'm going to tell you guys something. Out of all the four weeks of preparation, this was the greatest moment of my preparation, is coming to this word. You guys are like, okay, We're waiting, Pastor, to share with us what's the big deal about the stand. Have you guys ever held a light for your dad or for somebody? You know, again, I'm thinking about my dad, and I'm thinking about working on an automobile. You guys ever held a light for him, right? You're holding the light, and you kind of go like this, and you're, oh, look, it's a bird. Oh, ooh. And the light comes off, and all of a sudden you hear your dad go, "Oh!" You know, right? Or there might have been another word that came out of his mouth, and "Hey, you got to show me." Okay, yep, Dad, sorry about that. Let me see, the stand is the servant of the lamp. Let that soak a little bit. The stand is the servant of the lamp. How good is a lamp, or how good is a flashlight, if it's on the ground? I mean, wouldn't it be better if you took a light and you actually put it up higher? Wouldn't it be better if you put it on a stand, or if you put it on a shelf, or wouldn't it be better if it was actually held or served by something? In fact, for you Bible geeks out there, I would strongly encourage you to do a biblical study on the lampstand that is seen throughout the Scriptures. Because I think there is something to be said about the lampstand that is shown throughout, that was in the tabernacle, that was there to be shown and really to point to Christ. In fact, in Revelation 4, it talks about the seven churches that were called as the lampstand. And you see, this is so significant because the light or the lamp is not to be hidden, but is actually to be revealed. And for the disciples to be hearing this and to maybe acknowledge and accept the fact that they are to be bearers, they are to be servants, they are to be holders of this light. We even sang about that today in some of our songs. That we are to be the ones that are supporting and holding this lamp. Or we can go back again in the... So we are to be the ones that are proclaiming or sowing or spreading the seed to the rest of the world. We are the ones that are responsible. The disciples are the one responsible to make Jesus known to everyone. Not worrying about the soil, not worrying about all this other stuff, but just spreading the seed. Profound to me that I am a servant of the Lord. Profound to me that I don't need to be in a high position. I need to be a servant. I heard on Family Life Radio this last week. I don't remember what section. It was like the 2 o'clock. It must have been 2:30. There's a guy in there talking about being a servant. And he was talking about how when he goes to a restaurant, he's pretty extreme in the way. And he's a pastor. I don't know what church, but he's pretty extreme he saw this guy complaining over there in one of the booths, and he went over there. He just got up out of his chair and went over there, and he says, "Sir, how can I help you?" And he says, "Well, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because your sign says that there's bratwurst. And you're out of bratwurst. I stood in line, and I just want a bratwurst." "Sir, I'm really sorry about that. What if I was to get you some pie?" "Well, yeah." And so from the guy's perspective that didn't get the bratwurst, he viewed him as the manager. He viewed him as a worker at this place. This was just a guy that got up out of his seat and said, "How can I help you?" And he goes up and he stands in line and he goes and he buys a piece of pie for this guy. And he brings it back and he sets it down. And the guy was just like, "Wow, thank you very much. That's incredible. That's so awesome. I really appreciate you doing this." And the guy finds out that this isn't the manager at all. And he goes back and he sits in the seat and he celebrates with his kids those opportunities to be servants amongst people. This guy takes it to another level and he goes into restaurants. I don't really recommend this. I think this would be crazy, but he goes into restaurants and he'll see glasses that aren't full of water and he'll go back behind the counter and he grabs a pitcher of water and he goes around and he starts filling people's water glasses with water and just serves them. That concept in our society today doesn't really even exist. And what Jesus is calling for the believers and followers of Him is to be servants, to let His light shine in the world. And you may be sitting here thinking, buying a piece of pie for a guy, is that really? Yeah, that's really being a bearer of the light to people. coming alongside of and helping, because there are greater ways that we can help people, but this is just one example of serving. Being a servant of the lamp. The other word. So we have the lamp and we have the stand. The other word is the measure. We see it there in verse 24. I don't think the hearing and the paying attention is that difficult to understand. We've dealt with that throughout. Wendy had a lady yesterday at the wrestling meet. The lady said to her son, "Hey, if you're going to take your coat off, put it over here." And the boy just kept walking. And the lady looked at Wendy, and Wendy looked at lady, and the lady said, "He heard me." And Wendy replied and said, "Yeah, but he wasn't listening." You know, I think we're getting that part in this whole message, which is very critical, and we'll get to it here in just a few minutes towards the end. But he talks about the measure. He says, pay attention to what you hear, and that's critical there. Pay attention to what you hear. Everything that I'm proclaiming about this kingdom has come, and that we're to proclaim this truth of the gospel, and that people are to repent and to believe and to follow after me. This, with this measure you use, it will be measured to you. I really totally understand this as being the truth that is heard, but it doesn't land and rest at the heard part. But it is heard, and then there's action that is taken as a result of it. There is the picture of that we see in verse 20 of those who are sown of the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and then bear 30, 60, and 100 fold. And so what Jesus is referring to here when he talks about the measure is this idea of that truth that we have gained, or that they have gained from what they have listened to and how they have paid attention. You know, one of the reasons my dad never let me plant was because I never proved myself to really have understood or grasped the idea of what all of farming was. And it would be very true because there wasn't a great interest for me in it. I would only listen and want to understand the things that I enjoyed. And my dad recognized that and understood, and so he wouldn't give me greater responsibility. That's what's happening here. That's what he's referring to. With the amount that you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added. There's this idea that you can only handle this much. But when you can continue to grow and handle more, there's going to be more that is going to be given to you. When you really pay attention, when you really listen as disciples, there will be greater responsibility given. In fact, he goes on for greater explanation in 25, and it's the next word, and it's nothing profound in this word, but it's the word has. Because in the ESV it says in verse 25, "For to the one who has." Well, for the one who has what? For the one who has, you know, and what is he referring to? And it really comes down to the knowledge and understanding. It's what they understood. For the one who has, for the one who understands, more is going to be given to you. You're going to have a greater responsibility the more questions you're asking, the more that you're consumed with in desiring to know about this secret. There's going to be more that is poured out to you. But from the one who has not, from the one that doesn't grasp it, from the one that doesn't understand, for the one that sees it as foolishness, even what he has will be taken away. He's never going to grasp it or understand it or have the ability to spread it, to share it, to proclaim it. So why is Jesus teaching this and proclaiming this and helping his... I think it comes down to for these three reasons, and it's right here in the text. First of all, Jesus was calling them to serve. I want you guys to be the lampstand. I want you to be the ones that are holding the light of me in this world. He's calling them to accept. He doesn't want them just to take this in and do it halfway, but he wants them to really buy into this. hear and understand what is being revealed. Pay attention. That's that 23 and 24. The serving as the lampstand, the accepting as verses 23 and 24 of really connecting and grasping what He is calling them to do. And lastly, and I struggled with this one, but I think I've landed in the right spot, Jesus was calling them to work. He says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. See, I think one of the things that we fail at in our gospel journey is that so often we think that we hear the gospel and then we're just supposed to sit on it. And we're not to really share it with other people. And I remember early on in my faith when I received Christ as my Savior, I remember I couldn't hold back from telling everybody. I just wanted to share it with anybody and everybody. Because it was such good news. But then I grow farther and farther away from my relationship with God, and as I'm growing farther and farther away, I don't have the desire maybe to share the truth of the Scripture with other people. And I think when we get to that point where we're not sharing this truth with these other people, or we're not spending time in the Word, then we're not really sharing this good news of Christ to the rest of the world. And see, it's not about abundance. It's not about, I mean, it is eternal life, and we get eternal life when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, but that is not the end goal. Having a right relationship with God, dwelling with God for eternity, is the goal. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm living in eternity right now. I mean, there's a point where I'm gonna stop breathing, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So how I'm living my life today is how I want to live my life when I'm in glory, when I'm in His presence. Amen? I mean, that's how I view it. That's how I see it. And so all of this information that is given to me, all this is doing is drawing me closer to a better relationship with God. And I'm asking questions and I'm digging in and I want to know more and I want to labor for God. And my labors are not for self. They're not for wealth. They're not for any gain of myself, but the abundance of this truth that changes lives of people. And I'm going to tell you folks, the people in this world need help. Some of you that are sitting in this room this morning need help. You need direction. You need guidance. You need Christ to be the center of your lives. And what we are proclaiming to you today is what can change your life. The sign says something like, the story of Christ is great. I don't remember exactly, Pastor Derek, but I know the last statement is, it's life-changing. And this message that Jesus is proclaiming here to these men was a message that would change the world. And as much as He's given these followers responsibility, He has given us a responsibility to share this good news with people. So we're here to spread truth. And after we spread truth, there's more truth to be spread. And then spread. Passage of Scripture, as we're spreading this truth, there's more, as we understand this idea of the gospel and understand the secret of the kingdom, more is given to us and more responsibility. And so it's never ending. We're constantly working for God. And the result would be 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The result is more seed. And the seed, if you remember, is the most important part of farming. I brought some props with me today. You know, wouldn't be a series without props. So, I brought a seed spreader. Anybody ever use one of these? You know? Anybody ever planted an 80-acre farm with one of these? I don't think so. It'd take a little while, wouldn't it? But I want you to think about it from a measure standpoint as we kind of work through this morning. How big's your spreader? How much seed? What is the measure that you have, that you are spreading. Maybe it's that size. Or, we have this guy here, which I remember, I called my dad last night and I said, Dad, do we still have? So I remember as a kid actually using this. How many of you ever used one of these? Gary, have you ever used one of those? No. Jared, you've used one? So you take this, and I'll probably get a little dirty, but that's okay. Kind of put this right here, you know. And you go and you spread seed, right? Gets a little bit bigger, right? A little more seed, a little more of a measure that can go into there. And we come over here and we've got this Scotts Pro. And Zoe wanted to run this around this morning and play with this, but as you can see, you know, different technology, drive this around, you can adjust how much you're spreading, open up the chute, spread away. But if you notice, the hopper gets a little bit bigger, right? Think about it from the measure standpoint. How much do you understand about the kingdom? How big is your container as you are spreading this seed? Maybe we could go here. We can, you know, a little bit bigger. Maybe we could take it another step and go here. Or, and Jake's going, look at those tires. Those tires are nice. Or maybe you can go, you know what size those are? No. You could go here and just a little bit bigger. And when we really stop and think about what Jesus is asking of His disciples, Jesus and His followers, Jesus is asking them to be prepared to take in as much seed as possible to then spread it to the rest of the world. He's not asking you to judge the ground that the seed's going to be spread on. He's not asking you to figure out how it's going to grow. He's asking you to hook up the big green one to your hind end and start spreading seed for Jesus, okay? That's what He's asking of His disciples to be able to do. And so, as you see me running around the church or running around town with one of those on my backside, okay, I might just buy one of those spreaders and hook to my Jeep just to be an example of all of us to be spreading seed. Don't miss this, though. In everything that we're teaching here, what I don't want you to miss is that God has called His followers to serve His kingdom. And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have put your faith and trust in the cross and in His resurrection, then you are one of His followers. And He is calling you to serve and to be a part of this kingdom calling in this kingdom concept. But what I also don't want you to miss here this morning, but without God's involvement, our services are fruitful or fruitless. But without God's involvement, our services is fruitless. Where are you spreading your seed today? Where are you investing your time and energy? Are you living your life maybe with just a small measure of seed? And maybe you're one of those people that are spending time with that small measure of seed, and in fact, it very rarely gets refilled because you very rarely go back to seek after the one that provides that seed. Or maybe you're the one that has those big hoppers and you're spreading that seed, but you're working within a very small area. You wouldn't buy or use one of those seed spreaders on your lawn, your 1 acre lawn. It'd be ridiculous. But maybe you are so full and have so much seed, and yet you're just sitting on it. And maybe you're just hiding it. And maybe you're just consumed by all this knowledge that you can have, and you're not releasing it to the rest of this world. Well, here's my challenge for you here this morning as we kind of close this small chapter. And Billy's going to come back next week and is going to continue to expound on the seed and the sowing idea. There's no doubt about it. But as we kind of close this small chunk here in 4, I challenge you with these thoughts. Listen to what Jesus has said. Or listen to what Jesus is saying. And as a people really being consumed and asking questions and pursuing after what He has to say to you and for you, get connected. Get connected to God. I mean, it's our first one that's there. Get connected. Secondly, understand your responsibility. You are not a people that's just supposed to sit. You're not a people that's supposed to do nothing. You are to, at a minimum, and again, the measure that you are given, the measure you'll be given back, and if it starts here, it's okay. This is not a judgment. The judgment comes to the people that won't ever understand or won't ever get it and will actually be taken away. That's not the case for us as believers. But is there more? Could you be doing more? Could you be investing more in the measure that you have received and the things that you understand?